everyone. For those of you who don't know me, like Sue said, Pastor Kelly Smith. Happy you could be here today. Before we start our message today, I wanted to do an announcement about our upcoming Christmas offering. So every year, if you're new here at Grace, every year we take a Christmas Eve offering, and we take it at our Christmas Eve service, and it is for, we pick one to two different groups or missions we want to work with and say, we want to help support you. We want to give a blessing. We want to give for Christmas a gift for you to help do what you're doing. So this, every year we pick one to two different groups and we say, at Christmas Eve offering, we take an offering, and every single penny that comes in goes out to those groups. We don't keep anything. Nothing stays in house. It's just immediately saying, send it off to them. Take care of them. So last year we partnered with Oaxaca, and we raised over $19,000 in that Christmas Eve service to go and build two complete homes down in Mexico. And it was amazing. It was a great trip. And the people that went there said, we're like, this blessed that community so much. And we're so excited to be a part of it. So this year we have said, we're going to, instead of just focusing one area, we're going to split this year's offering, which we've done before, into two areas. One local and one more international. So locally, we have chosen to partner with a group called Hope on Haven Hill. Who has heard of them? Awesome, good. Hope on Haven Hill is an amazing organization. They are an organization based right here out of Rochester, and they are addressing the opioid and substance abuse crisis, specifically in mothers with who are pregnant, homeless pregnant women, or homeless mothers with young babies. And it is a house where they have beds where they can come in and stay and do very intensive programs to help get them off substance abuse, but also to teach them just how to take care of their kid, how to live life, how to get a job, how to stay clean, how to make financial decisions, and help get them into a place where they can sit there and go, I'm ready to be on my own with my child, with the family, and start living life and start seeing what it means that God loves them and that they can be a part of what's happening in this world. So this is a great program. At any given time, they can serve 16 women and their families and their kids right then. And they serve about 120 families every single year that they take care of. They have a couple different facilities, an outpatient facility in Summersworth, the house in Rochester. And they're looking to expand and say, we want to get a van so we can start bringing them to different to appointments, to different meetings, so that they can continue to grow, stay off the substances, and build this relationship with their child and understand what it means that God loves them and people loves them well. So we want to help support this program as they look to expand their facilities and as they look to have wellness programs to help succeed. And we want to raise funds to help them get that transportation for that van as well. So that is where we're going to be focusing. Half of the Christmas Eve offering is taking care of and working with Hope on Haven Hill. And the other half is going to be internationally. We're going to be going back to Oaxaca this year, and we're really excited about that. And so we're going to take split the other way with Oaxaca and to build a home down there for another family. So there are this community, if you don't know much about Oaxaca, is one of the poorest communities in Latin America. The average education level there is about third or fourth grade. Three out of four people do not have access to basic needs like food, water, education, healthcare. Most of the people there live in dirt floor shacks with whatever scraps they can find from the junkyard or just around or come off people's building that's no longer any good. They just kind of put it together and live on a dirt floor shack, hoping that they can make it through the day. It is really a very difficult situation. Last year we went down there, we were able to have enough money to build two earth block homes down there and do that. This year we're bringing another team in February, and there's 17 people right now that are signed up that are going to be going down to Oaxaca, and we want to bring down there, and when we're down there, build another earth block home, but also be working with their program there called Trigo and Miel, which means honey and wheat and honey, which is a program where they take care of the youth in the community. And these kids, they help do stuff like take the at-risk kids and give them nutritious meals, safe drinking water, medical care, tutoring, emotional support, and most importantly, showing them what it means to have people who love them because God loves them. And saying, hey, God loves us, and we want to love on you, and we want to show you that love, and be the hands and feet of Jesus. And so they're also going to be helping out there, and helping, they are adding a second story onto their facility there so they can redo a kitchen, and they can take care of more kids and serve that community even more. The beautiful thing about this is when we go down there and we're helping out, it's not just, oh, we're going to build a house or a family. When that family has a home and a safe place, it starts affecting the community as a whole. And more the community comes together and takes care of each other. Trijo and Miel is one of those places where they're growing together a community, and these kids are having an education, but they're healthy, and they're going out into the community, and they start growing and having a community in Christ. So it's a beautiful thing, and we're excited to partner with them. So we're really excited about both of these organizations. We're excited to stay local and help a local organization that is right here in the community we're in. But we also believe in Tell Love Go, that we need to go and do something for Jesus and go far away. So we want both of these things in our Christmas Eve offering. We're very excited about doing it. We can't wait to see how God's going to work in this situation, how he's going to use our faithfulness in giving to help others as we live out Tell Love Go and being the hands and feet of Jesus. So if you have on your heart going, you know what, I really want to be a part of this. I want to give for this Christmas Eve. There will be envelopes on your seats later. We will have them they'll have them out at the door, I think, today. Were they on your seats or no? Yes, oh, they are on your seats. Look at that. Courtney's awesome. But they're on your seats now. You can start filling them out. You can start giving any time, but we're going to be taking this, and specifically on Christmas Eve, gathering together, and we're excited to just bless these communities. And thank you for your generosity and your continued faithfulness in giving back what God's already given to us. So thank you very much. We're excited about what this is going to be, what's going to be happening. So, into the sermon. All right. You might have noticed that for the last couple weeks, I wasn't here. I was actually traveling with my wife, took a couple weeks off. We went to Europe, and we were going through Switzerland and France and Germany on a riverboat cruise. And that pretty much sums up the trip. It was perfect. It was cold. It was old, and we loved it. So it was great to just have that time with my wife and just kind of enjoy being married. I'm a busy guy, and she's a busy lady, and so we just shut everything off. We don't know what happened with our kids. We didn't care. No, I'm joking. They went out to my parents' house and got to spend Thanksgiving with them, and they had a great time as well. But it was a wonderful time. But I'm very excited to be back here today. I'm very excited to be sharing the message with you. But I did miss a couple messages, so it's going to be 90 minutes long. All right, here we go. We are continuing our sermon series, our Advent sermon series called Anthems. And this idea of anthems is about songs and different things. But the idea behind Advent, I think, is even more important. Many of us have heard the term Advent. We know what Advent means, or at least we think we know what Advent means. That this idea that Advent is, okay, we're thinking about Christmas. Well, the word Advent actually comes from the Latin word for Adventus. And the word Adventus actually is a translation for the Greek word parousia. And parousia doesn't mean Jesus was born. Parousia actually means the second coming. When we talk about Advent, the Advent season, it's looking back at the birth of Jesus, but really what it is looking forward to when Jesus comes. The Advent season is not about looking back. It's not about talking about the birth of Jesus. It's understanding God came for us and he's coming again. There will be a second coming where God returns and is coming back and saying, I'm ready. Heaven is prepared for you. I'm gathering my people. The time has come. And now I am back, and there's going to be a new earth, a new heaven. And we get to be a part of it and live in eternity with God. This is what it's about. Advent is not about the birth of Jesus, it's about the second coming. And when you recognize that and see that, now when you look back at the story of Jesus' birth, we start seeing the similarities of the people of Israel were waiting for the Messiah to come, and they were waiting and waiting. They had no idea when it would happen. And when it happened, they weren't even ready. And there's similarities to go, and now we're waiting for the second coming. And we're waiting. And we're waiting with expectation. We're hoping it's going to come. But we don't know when it will be. And it may be today. It may be tomorrow. Maybe in 1,000 years from now. We don't know. What we do know is God said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back and I'm going to be with you. And when God says something, it happens. Why? Because he's God. And so this is something that we get to look forward to and say, we look back, remember the birth of Jesus, as we look forward to him coming again. And so our theme for this year's Advent is anthems. And this idea of anthems, who knows what an anthem is? Anyone? I mean, you kind of get the idea, right? An anthem is actually a song or hymn of praise or gladness or rousing or uplifting song identified with a particular group or a cause. An anthem is something you can get behind. An anthem is something you're like, yeah, that sums it up. I relate to that. It's kind of going, let's do for it. One of the greatest bands that were what were called an anthem band of all time was the band Queen, right? They had anthems that you could sing with. You could be like, we will rock you, right? Here we go, everyone. We will rock you, right? Yeah? Oh, I see it, everyone. Yeah, because that's what you do. You get behind it. You get excited. They have other ones. We are the champions, right? We are the champions, my friend. I don't want to, we can only sing that much because otherwise I think we have to pay for it. But you know, they have the other songs like Another One Bites the Dust, right? Another One Bites the Dust. Bow, boom, boom, boom. You know that? They're anthem songs. You get behind it, you get excited. You're like, I know what they're talking about. Yeah, we'll rock you. This is going to be great. They're an anthem band. That's what we're talking about today is anthems. Now, when you look in the Bible, you don't think, yeah, anthems. But guess what? They're there. And they sum up the whole idea of going, I'm excited about this, that there's something amazing happening, and I'm behind this. This song of praise, this anthem that's being sung, I want to be a part of that. What's happening there, what they're talking about, yeah, I relate to that. And so last week, we talked about the first anthem, which was the anthem of expectation. And it was Mary's anthem that she sang, and she said this song of expectation that the Savior is going to be coming. That God has blessed me and I get to be his. That the lowest of the low is now raised up. That God is coming and I get to be a part of it. There's this expectation of what will happen. And her anthem was so rousing that she broke out in song, singing, God is great. Look what he's done and look what he's going to do. And so we talked about what it meant to have expectation of something to come. And today, we're going to have our second anthem. And that anthem is preparation, a song of preparation, an anthem of preparation. You sit there and go, doesn't sound very anthem-y. We will prepare you. You know, like, just doesn't have the same ring to it. But it's a song, and it's an anthem of preparation. And this anthem of preparation is actually from Zechariah. And Zechariah was actually married to this lady named Elizabeth. And Elizabeth was the cousin of Mary, the father or the mother of God. And so Elizabeth and Mary, cousins, right? And her husband, Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, is a priest in the temple. And it is his day to go in and to light the incense. They're picked by lots, and he goes in, and so he separates from and goes in to light incense to God in the temple and say, let us worship God. And when he goes in there to burn the incense, he goes in, and while he's doing it, an angel appears before him. And this is what it says in Luke 1, verse 11 through 15. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him, but the angel said, don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. Think about this. You're standing there as a priest, burning incense up to God in the temple, and an angel comes and stands before you and says, don't be afraid. A great thing is going to happen. You're going to have a son. You've prayed for a son. God has heard your prayer, and he's going to do great things. the response from Zechariah is what I see is probably the wisest and most foolish response at the same time in the entire Bible. And it's foolish because of this. This is what he says back to the angel. Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I'm an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Well, the foolish part of this answer is when an angel comes from God and stands before you and says, "This is what will happen," don't question it, right? Gabriel, the angel, who you know, you sit there and go, "Gabriel comes before me, standing in the presence, I'm lighting in the altar, in the temple, and oh my gosh, it's an angel." And he says, "God's going to bless you." Don't be like, "Are you sure?" Right? So one of the most foolish answers. At the same time, if you notice the words he says, he said, "But I'm old, and my wife is well along in years." One of the wisest answers you could ever give. Not once he said, "I'm old, my wife's just well along in years," right? So I tell you what, smart man, kind of dumb at the same time, but that's okay. But Zechariah's standing before the angel, and he says, "What? How can this be? We're well past this time. How's this going to happen?" And the angel answers him, and Gabriel speaks and says, the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the very presence of God. It was he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you don't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born. For my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." I love what Gabriel says here. The first thing he says, though, is, "Look, you're not going to talk. You're going to be silent. For the next 10 months, while your wife is pregnant, while she is well along in years and pregnant and dealing with all of that, you don't get to say a word. You're going to be silent. You can't speak, nothing. Your mouth is closed." Maybe a blessing to the wife, maybe not. We don't know. We don't know if he was a talker. But he's not able to say anything. He can't even share the story of the angel that just appeared to him, because his mouth is closed. Think about that. You're in the temple of God. You're a priest in the inner room lighting incense. An angel appears before you with a message from God who was just standing in God's presence. And you can't say a word. Not a word. His mouth is closed. And so there's nothing that's going to be said. But notice what Gabriel also said. He said, "I brought you good news. This is good news I'm bringing you. And it's not me. I'm the messenger. I stood in the presence of God. These are his words. And you're doubting them? You know what? You're not going to speak for a while. But I love what he says here. My words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Why is it that he goes, "They will certainly be fulfilled"? Why? Because God spoke them to Gabriel. He stood in front of God. God said, "Give them this message." And when God speaks, it happens. When God speaks, his words come to pass. There's nowhere in the Bible where God says, "Let there be light." And he's like, "Oh, no, it didn't happen." He speaks, it happens. The universe was created by God speaking it into existence. If he says, "You're going to have a child," you're going to have a child. He's God. And I love that Gabriel says, "My words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." When God has planned it and ordained it to be, it will be. And that message of understanding that God's word becomes truth and is truth is a great thing to understand. When we're talking about Advent, though, we're looking back to look forward. And so if we look at this and go, if Gabriel's saying, "God said it's going to happen, so it'll happen," when we start looking back in the Bible and we look at other things, we go, if Jesus said it, if God said it, it will be. And we can remember the words of Jesus in John 14. We said, "Remember what I told you. I am going away, but I will come back to you again." These are the words of Jesus, words of God. I will come back to you again. For Advent, that's what we're excited about. The second coming, the return of the Messiah. Coming back to say, I'm going to complete this. I'm going to have a new earth and a heaven. You will be a part of this. You will live with me forever. Jesus said, I'm going away, but I will come back to you again. When God speaks, his words happen. There is no, I wonder if he'll really come back. He said he's coming back. He's coming back. And for us, it's important to remember that. God doesn't just speak lightly and say, if it happens, it happens. When he says it will, it will. So as we go back to Zechariah, we continue to see what's happening. The story goes long, and we get to the time of Elizabeth having the baby. And so in Luke 1, 57 through 64, we see this. When it was time for Elizabeth's baby to be born, she gave birth to a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard that the Lord had been very merciful to her, everyone rejoiced with her. When the baby was 8 days old, they all came for the circumcision ceremony. They wanted to name him Zechariah after his father, but Elizabeth said, no, his name is John. What, they exclaimed? There's no one in all your family by that name. So they used gestures to ask the baby's father what he wanted to name him. He motioned for a writing tablet. To everyone's surprise, he wrote, his name is John. And instantly, Zechariah could speak again, and he began praising God. There's a couple things in this story I really want to point out. In the very beginning, it says, when the time for Elizabeth to have the baby, that as the baby came, everyone was rejoicing that God had been so merciful. Remember, she was well along in years. The fact that she had the baby was great. The fact that there were no complications, she lived, was even better. And everyone's going, this is amazing. And then they're like, what do we name the kid? And she's like, John. And they all look at the dad. They're like, gestures. Are you sure John is the name? Zechariah would be better, right? Because he's not speaking. They're going, why is she doing this? This is your job, Zechariah. And he was sitting there. And so they're going, why? What should it be? And he motioned and said, it is John. And immediately his mouth came open and he could speak. And what is the first thing he began doing? Praising God, right? Praise God. The first thing he could do, this man, the first thing he did is not say, oh my gosh, there was an angel. You guys, 10 months, I've been waiting to tell you, right? Like as soon as my mouth opened, that's what I'd be like, oh God, wait, angel, let me tell you the story, 10 months ago, right? But the first thing he does is praise God. For 10 months, his mouth has been shut. He can't speak. First thing, it isn't saying, Elizabeth, are you okay? Is the baby good? All right, good. How's everyone doing? Yes, I haven't spoken for. It's praise God. This is something that I think we can really latch on to. Because it was his heart that showed what was most important to him in everything that was happening. He had a wife who was well along years who just had a child. He had a brand new baby boy. He knew this child would be doing amazing things. And his first thing is just praise God for what he's done. For everything. And in our lives, that can be something that's really important for us to remember too. When we're happy, and things are going well, and we're healthy and prosperous, guess what we need to do? Praise God. Thank God that I can stand up here and walk, that we have a warm building. Thank God that we have this community together. We want to praise you, God, for everything. Guess what? When you're struggling, and you're struggling financially or in relationships, guess what the first thing you need to do is? Praise God. God, thank you for allowing me to be in this relationship. Thank you for allowing me to go through this struggle so that I can grow closer to you. God, I hope you use whatever this is for your glory. When things are real bad, when you're hurting, feeling alone, dealing with physical pains. Praise God. Because guess what? Anything you go through in life, there will be difficulties, there will be pains, there will be tough times, there will be struggles, depression, all these different things. At the end of the day, you can't control that. And it's going to happen probably one way or the other. But you can either choose to sit there and go, with all of this that's going on, I just quit. Or with all of this that's going on, God is still God. And I can still praise His holy name. And He still has control of the situation. And if I lean on His strength, I know I'm not enough on my own. But with His strength, He can get me through anything. Because God is greater than everything. And for us, we are not. The Bible never says God will not give you more than you can handle. Says God will never give you something you can't handle with His strength. You will go through tough times and difficult times more than you can handle on your own. But guess what? God can handle it, no problem. He says, lean on me. Use my strength. Abide in me. Remain in me. Spend time with me. And I'll take care of you. Don't worry. And so the first response from Zechariah is, praise God. For us, our first response and things should be, praise God. And so, out of his praise, he starts to sing a song. He sings a song we call the Benedictus, and the Benedictus means a song of praise. It's a prophecy of praise, and it's Benedictus literally means blessing. So it's a song of blessing that he pours out. And this is the song of prophecy, the song of praise, the song of blessing that he sang. And it's this words: praise the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has visited and redeemed his people. He has sent us a mighty Savior from the royal line of his servant David, just as he promised through his holy prophets long ago. Now we will be saved from our enemies and from all who hate us. He has been merciful to our ancestors by remembering his sacred covenant, the covenant he swore with an oath to our ancestor Abraham. We have been rescued from our enemies so we can serve God without fear, in holiness and righteousness for as long as we live. And you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. You will tell his people how to find salvation through forgiveness of his sins. Because of God's tender mercy, the morning light from heaven is about to break upon us to give light to those who sit in darkness and in shadow of death, and to guide us through the path of peace. This song that he sings is really broken up into two parts. And the first part is recognizing the Savior that is growing in Mary's womb right at that point and saying, I recognize the Savior's coming. He's here. He's going to deliver us. Thank you, God, for remembering your covenant, for saying how you would save us and rescue us and make a way so we could have forgiveness of sin and be redeemed to you. And the second part is, thank you, God, for my son. What a blessing he is. But not just because I have a son. Thank you, God, for my son, because you said he was going to be a prophet for you, because you said he would be lifted up and serve the Lord Most High. Thank you, God, for this blessing that you have given, that my child gets to prepare a way for the Savior, that my child gets to be a part of that preparation. And when we hear this song from Zechariah, the song of praise and blessing, it harkens back and goes back to Gabriel's words in the beginning of this, where Gabriel said, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. And so Zechariah said those words, and you, my little son, will be called the prophet of the Most High, because you will prepare the way for the Lord. And all of that came and fulfilled the prophecy that was given in Isaiah, where it said, a voice of one calling, in the wilderness, prepare the way for the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Zechariah was a priest, and he recognized, he heard the angel speak. He knew what the prophet Isaiah said. And he said, my son gets to fulfill that. But it's not about my son. It's still about God. And I still get to praise God for all he's done. And so Zechariah's song was a song of blessing and a song of praise and a song going, thank you, God, for the Savior. Thank you, God, for my son. Thank you that we get to be a part of us. Because he recognized the truth in who his son was. That his son, John, had one job, a job of preparation. His job was to get the world ready for God and to start telling people, this is what you need to do. There's forgiveness coming. The Messiah is coming. Turn from sin and turn towards him. Turn towards him. He was preparing the way for people. And guess what the most beautiful part of this whole story is in Advent? That's our job too. Our job is to prepare the way for the coming of the Messiah again. For the second coming when he returns and he said, I will be back. Don't worry, I'm going away, but I will return. And our job is to prepare the way. Prepare the way that God is using us to be a part of his plan. To prepare the way for the Lord. And this isn't just something that we should think about doing. It was one of the very last commands that Jesus gave before he ascended in heaven. He said when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? And he replied, the Father alone has the authority to set those dates and time, and they are not for you to know. But you will receive the power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. And you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere, in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the world. And after saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching. And they could no longer see him. They're standing there. They can no longer see him. And as they strained to see him rise into heaven, two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. Men of Galilee, they said, why are you standing here staring into heaven? Jesus had been taken away from you into heaven, but someday he will return from heaven in the same way that you saw him go. These men, Jesus just said, go, prepare the way, tell the world for when I'm coming again. And they're standing there, and they're like, he's disappeared, and they're squinting their eyes. And two angels come and say, what are you doing? Didn't you just hear him? Go! Go! And that's the message for us today. Go! Prepare the way for the Lord. This Advent season is not just about remembering little 8-pound, 12-ounce baby Jesus that was so cute. Right? I don't know why 8-pound, 12 ounces, but that's a good size, baby. It's my little chubby. It's a happy, chubby little baby. It's not just remembering a baby in a manger. It's recognizing God came to save us. He came down to be among us and to save us from ourselves. And he's coming back. And this Advent season, we need to prepare the way. Just as Zechariah knew that John's job was to prepare the way. Our job is to go. To evangelize. To show people God's love. To be the hands and feet of Jesus. To prepare the way for the returning of the Messiah. And this Advent season, that's what it is. We're talking about today, preparation. John was born to prepare the way. And that continues to be our job to this very day. So go. He's coming again. Go. Prepare the way. Tell. Love. Go. And be the hands and feet of Jesus every day. Let's go ahead and pray together. Lord, thank you so much we could be here. Thank you that we get to be a part of what you are doing in this world, God. Not only do we get to be a part of caring for others, loving others, showing compassion, God, helping in our communities, helping in communities around the world, and those things are great, God, but we get to be a part of your plan for redemption, your plan for salvation. God, you gave us a job to go and prepare the world for your return. Lord, I pray we don't take that job lightly. That we recognize you said you will return, you will return. You said you are going to create a new heaven and earth, you will create a new heaven and earth. You said that we prepare a way for your return and go and tell others about you. And God, we are to prepare a way. We are to go and tell others about you, God. Lord, I pray this Advent season that we follow that instruction. That we speak your love into this world. That we show others who you are. And just like you gave the message to Zechariah that John was going to be born and he would prepare the way for God, that you have given the message to us that the Holy Spirit is in us, God. That you live in us and our job is just to follow you, to have a relationship with you so that we can have a relationship with others in the way you created us to be, to show your love. Show your plan, God. Lord, I pray that we would follow your commands. Thank you, God, for what you've given us. Thank you for how you've loved us. And thank you that we get to be a part of what you are doing. In your holy and blessed name, we pray.